Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Tis a Target demo Friday, and so coming up in about 40 minutes from now, I'll read through what you guys are up to as you listen to the show. It's one of my favorite parts of the show is every Friday getting to hear from you guys in real time of what you're up to as you tune in. So take to our Twitter or our Facebook and let us know. Use social media to get back at us and let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show, what your plans are maybe for the weekend, what city you're in, what affiliate you're listening to, or what app that you're streaming us on. And we will read them coming up here, and I'll sprinkle in just a few drops as well.
What you think about that, D.A.?
Can't wait. As my man Bart would say, can't wait. Mm-hmm. Sure am. I sure am, Sam Mitchell. What are you going to do about it? That was one of the highlights of the week, by the way. Annoying Sam Mitchell with my line of questioning, which I thought was a very, very, very benign question. I said, should the Pacers think about trading Paul George now before the draft or this offseason, or can they wait until the trade deadline? Ugh. Somebody had a case of the Mondays. Walk slowly away from the microphone, and Sam, the floor is yours. You do what you need to do, my man. Didn't mean to upset you. The question today, this morning, after Jimmy Butler is traded to the Timberwolves is, did the Bulls get enough in return? And I think the simple answer is no. When you look at Jimmy Butler, you've got a multi-time all-star. You've got a guy that's only now beginning to scratch, I think, what his real potential is. He is a first priority primary scorer. He is a do-everything Swiss Army knife. He is still in his prime, and he is locked up for the next two seasons, plus a player option for the third. You have a player in Jimmy Butler that can be a centerpiece of a good team. And if you're the Timberwolves, man, you make that trade every single day and twice on draft night. You're giving up Zach LaVine, good but injured, Chris Dunn, fine, he's a backup point guard, and the number 7 pick. In other words, you lost a little bit of depth, but you basically drafted Jimmy Butler at number 7. That's essentially what you got out of your number 7 pick in the draft. Yeah, you do that. Now, you have to pay Butler more than you would Lauri Markkanen or whoever else you drafted there, and you only have Butler for 2 or 3 years right now versus the full rookie contract. But ultimately, man, you're trying to win right now and you've got a good young core. I think it's great. I wonder also if for the Timberwolves, this is trying to stabilize the franchise to be able to keep Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins there. You know, if you start winning a few games with Jimmy Butler, you make the playoffs, you're an exciting team for the next 2 or 3 seasons, then Karl Anthony Towns re-signs and he is a generational player. He is going to be a superstar. There is not a doubt in my mind that he will at some point be a top 3 player in the NBA. He is that good. He is going to be the best big man in the NBA before all is said and done. So maybe you want to make it a healthier culture there, start winning, turn it around, and it makes it more appetizing to buy in long-term for Wiggins and Towns. So for the T-Wolves, you do it every day. For the Bulls, I mean, look, you can defend it if you're Gar Foreman. And the defense is, you know, we wanted a reboot. We wanted a restart. We have a new starting backcourt. And we get Lauri Markkanen to build around as a potential franchise centerpiece. Seems pretty good to us. We swap out one centerpiece in Jimmy Butler for the next one in Markkanen. And this new one is young. We have him on the cheap. And we can start building with a young backcourt. So basically, for Jimmy Butler, we got three starters. You know, if it's LaVine and Dunn and Markkanen that you get as three starters on your squad in a starting backcourt, and Markkanen ends up being a star, you know, you can defend that. Here's the issue. There's no guarantee LaVine is going to end up being what he was before the knee injury. There was no guarantee he was ever going to be much more than a highlight reel type player anyway. And Chris Dunn, while we all liked him last summer when he got drafted, stock came down after a rough rookie season. I would think the Bulls holding out would get a better deal than that. And that's why I would be bothered if I'm a Bulls fan. Maybe that was the best deal on draft night. But if that's the best deal on draft night and you're the Bulls, you've got to be more patient. You've got to say, okay, it's not going to happen on draft night then. You know, sometimes you got to walk away, back away from the table. Like when Sam Mitchell gets after you. You got to back away. And if that's the best deal you got on draft night, you've got to figure you'll get a better deal, but you just got to wait it out. And my guess is the Bulls say, well, we want to reboot right now. We want to reboot right now. Rondo and Wade are up in the air. We trade away Butler. We want this year, 2017, 2018, to be the first year of the reboot. And so we can't wait because we want that draft pick right now. But I would say, why not wait? Why not wait if you're going to get a better deal? Because I've got to imagine you get a better deal than the number 7 pick overall and then two pieces that are fine but not great. You know, just look at that Celtics deal. Now, I don't know if this is legit, but if the Celtics and the Bulls were in talks for the number 3 pick overall, I would think that that's more valuable, having the number 3 pick and taking two pieces that might be lesser than Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine from Boston. I would think that's a better deal because you're at number 3 instead of number 7. And is LaVine and Dunn really going to be stars for you? I mean, I guess maybe there's the hope that Dunn might be. But I just think that you waited out because you've got Jimmy Butler for the next 2 years. So you could conceivably trade him anytime this summer, anytime during the season up until the trade deadline, and then next summer or the following deadline. You could trade him all the way up until the deadline 2019, and I think you would be able to get a better haul than you got yesterday from the T-Wolves. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. You know, I think that if you are a fan of the Sacramento Kings, you are also very burned. You are also very scarred. This has not been a franchise that has been very, very good to you. It has been a franchise that's been very, very bad. But last night, it's hard not to get kind of excited about what the Kings did. You grab De'Aaron Fox as a playmaking point, and then you get two more picks in the first round. You use that on high upside guys, Justin Jackson and Harry Giles, after you traded away Zach Collins, although I really like Zach Collins. I would have liked to see them use Collins and De'Aaron Fox together, but you turn Zach Collins into two first-round picks, Justin Jackson, Harry Giles, and then the second round, you got Frank Mason out of Kansas. I can't believe I'm saying this because it's Sacramento. I thought they had a really good night. I think you can legitimately be excited about what they did last night. Now, who knows? Because it's Sac Town, you never know how that's all going to work out. But When the dust cleared last night, it definitely felt as though the Kings had a big night. I feel bad for Lonzo Ball. When Lonzo Ball was watching and listening to his dad, LeVar, yap, yap, yap again to Jeff Goodman of ESPN, you just saw that look in Lonzo's face like, oh, God. You know, just that old, we've all been there if you're a son. You know, embarrassed about dad. Whether that's dad screaming too loud at your Little League game or being obnoxious at some type of school event or having one too many at the holidays, there's always something where you're just like, ah, not here, dad, not now, man. And that just was the look that Lonzo had on his face. Like, I know this was coming, but this was supposed to be my night. Did it not feel like that? You know, it felt like a John Hughes movie where, like, Molly Ringwald had built up in her head what her sweet 16 was going to be or her prom night. And then her hot mom got all the attention by wearing some type of skimpy dress. And she just like sat down on the bench and watched all the boys in her class flock to her hot mom. That's what it felt like Lonzo Ball was feeling like was Molly Ringwald in some type of 80s movie. Like, oh. This was supposed to be my night. And it's dad's again. Again. I don't know. It's a weird, weird, weird dynamic because you can't pass on Lonzo because of his dad. You can't. Couldn't have done it. The Lakers cannot pass on a generational talent potentially, even if he's not a generational talent, an excellent point guard. You cannot pass on him because his dad is a nudge. You cannot pass on him because his dad is a stooge. You cannot pass on him because his dad is obnoxious. You can't. It's just not a good enough reason to pass on somebody on a player. Now, if you thought that the player was obnoxious like his dad, okay. If you thought he wasn't taking it seriously because he wasn't raised in an environment to take it seriously, fine. But there's no evidence that Lonzo Ball is anything like his dad, so you can't pass on him. You just can't. I also thought it was really interesting that last night you had three picks come off the board of the top 14 from Kentucky. Bam Adebayo, Malik Monk, who I love, De'Aaron Fox. You had three picks in the top 20 from Duke, and neither one of those teams made the Final Four. Goes to show you, as great as the NBA talent is, when it's still that young and unseasoned, in college basketball, there is no guarantees. When we come back here on the show, our friend Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, gives us his winners and losers from last night's NBA draft. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Same great taste.
I'm worried that the sunlight will change how we perform during these interviews.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, that Jared Greenberg is such a worrywart. Welcome back, DA, with you. Remember, we are always on iTunes as well, so if you miss anything or want to hear it again, like this upcoming interview, it'll be available on iTunes. Just search DA and CBS, and you'll see it completely free. Subscribe. Our friend Jared Greenberg from NBA TV to break down last night's NBA draft. NBA TV had tremendous coverage of the draft last night. Jared, good morning.
There has been a trade.
Yeah, what did we trade?
Mraz.
Oh, where's he going?
Bag of balls.
Okay, we traded him for a bag of balls. And where is he right off to?
To first put the air in the balls.
Okay.
And then, I'm not sure. I think it's just an unknown type of deal for him.
Okay. All right. So it's like a summer camp maybe that we're sending him to?
That's fun. It's still probably better than what the Bulls did last night.
Well, I don't know. You could crush the Bulls all you want, but at least Gar Forman wasn't asleep during scouting reviews and workouts of potential draft picks.
Well, just because nobody said it yet doesn't mean that he wasn't.
So you thought the Bulls didn't get enough,
sleep
huh?
at the wheel.
You didn't think they got enough. Why?
I don't know that you need to trade Jimmy Butler. You know, this reeks of James Harden being traded from Oklahoma City. Fine if you're not going to pay him. Fine if you're ultimately going to trade him. But the knee-jerk reaction to do it when you did it, like, you have to have the position that in 5 years from now, you're going to willingly admit that Lauri Markkanen is the guy that you would pick first if you had that pick in the draft last night. Like, that's how much you had to have loved him to do that, to give up a pick, to give up the guy in Josh Patton who might ultimately go down as the best center in this draft, and to give up Jimmy Butler to the guy who coached your team that you fired and said wasn't good enough with the talent you had that you felt was NBA Finals worthy. It reeks of having to explain yourself year after year for the next decade.
Well, and that's the thing. It's kind of like the Bulls are making it up as they go along, right? Because they
totally. And to say last night that now we have a direction, which is what? Yeah, you've gotten over time now with three lottery picks, but what does that mean? You know, at least in Boston, and you know, at least in Boston, they have the philosophy of, which I don't necessarily love at this point because you got to do something with it, but in Boston, the philosophy is draft picks are easier to trade than guys you've drafted, which is very true in the NBA, especially in the new NBA, which the new CBA is going to kick in here in days. And I know people are sick of hearing that because they don't really understand what it all means, and you know, neither do I. That's why I have a lawyer on staff nonstop. But the fact is, you can. It's easier, and there's more value. It's like a car. Once you drive it off the lot, the value decreases tenfold. And for the Bulls, what they've done is they keep on drafting these guys and missing nonstop. They keep on missing, and once you get them, you can't trade them. I mean, think about the last two big trades the Bulls have made. The best players they've gotten back are Cameron Payne and Zach LaVine. And they've given up Jimmy Butler, Doug McDermott, Taj Gibson, and potentially, as I said, the guy who many feel could be the best center in this draft in Josh Patton.
What do you think the Bulls end up doing with Rondo and Wade?
Well, here's the deal, right? So Wade's going to look for the sympathy vote here over the next few days, because the thought all along over the last year was that if Jimmy Butler is traded, then Wade would opt out of his contract and go elsewhere. And yes, he probably wouldn't get the $24 million he's guaranteed to make had he opted in, but some team would give him $30 million or more guaranteed over 2 or 3 years, right? Now Wade is opted in. But here's the problem. You can't opt out once you opt in, right? There's actually no opting out in the NBA from a legal standpoint. You just don't send in your paperwork. From all that we've learned, Wade has sent in his paperwork, so now he can't reverse that. Once you sign a contract to sign into your contract, you can't get out of it. So Wade's locked in there. And the Bulls are a team that like having a guy that will continue to sell out their arena, which they do, whether they're good or bad. I'm not so sure, based on the moves that the Bulls have made, if they're going to continue to sell out their arena next year, just because of how questionable it's been. And they were more talented last year than they're going to be this year. Now, ultimately, their hope is that they're building for the future and that they're going to be better in 3 or 4 years. So there's reason for optimism. I just don't know if Bulls fans are going to put up with it and still go to that arena. And Dwayne Wade's going to be really frustrated with this team. If he didn't like how the young players performed last year, I mean, how's he going to feel this year? And in terms of Rondo, it doesn't make sense to have Rondo there. It doesn't. Rondo is a guy who you just don't know what you're going to get. You know, butted heads on a regular basis with the coaching staff last year. And why surround him with this young nucleus you're trying to build? You're trying to figure out what you have. And And for them to say they have a direction and they know what style they're going to, it's ridiculous. They continue to show us that they have no game plan.
Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, after last night's NBA draft. Why do you think that Josh Jackson did not want to work out for the Celtics?
I don't know. It's very weird. And how about two Danny Ainge not just taking a shot at Josh Jackson, but taking a shot at the entire city of Sacramento last night when he said he flew out for the workout with Josh Jackson and he wasn't available. And somebody asked him, well, what'd you do? And he goes, well, nothing, because there's nothing to do in Sacramento except for watch basketball.
That's why a lot of people around the NBA hate Danny Ainge.
Well, yeah. I don't know. There's plenty of guys that have been drafted without working out with a team, right? There's plenty of guys that have never spoken to the general manager or the president of basketball operations that selected him. So this is, there's got to be more to it that I'm sure we're going to find out in the coming days.
Agreed. Jared Greenberg joins us from NBA TV. Who did you feel hit a slam dunk last night, or hit a home run, had a slam dunk where you're like, oh man, they nailed it?
I'm torn right now. I'm feeling more optimistic than pessimistic about Sacramento. Hmm. I think they did a tremendous job, and I got to tell you, DA, I'm not a college basketball expert by any means. We were dug in to the NBA all year long, so I always look at this from a team standpoint. But from some of the people I spoke with, and just from my own observations of going back and watching tape and reading scouting reports, I don't know that it's such a slam dunk that Fultz and Ball are so head and shoulders talent-wise above the other point guards. And that's not a knock on Fultz and Ball. That is to say, I really truly believe this point guard draft was amazing, and I think they may be marginally better than guys like Fox and Dennis Smith. Now, how they're used and how they mentally approach the game certainly plays a big role. But I think De'Aaron Fox is going to be a great basketball player. And it is tough for young point guards in this league to thrive. I would say that we shouldn't judge what De'Aaron Fox does based on his rookie year. We shouldn't judge what anybody does based on their rookie year. But I think De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento has the chance to revitalize that franchise and lead them in the right direction. He's got a great coach in Dave Yeager to really help guide him in that direction. I think Sacramento, the amount of picks they got, the fact that they were able to trade with Portland for their 10th pick and get two more picks back, they have so many options now. And I think ultimately they've got to make several more trades now because they've got a collection of so many bodies that I don't even know, if they have a locker room big enough to fit all the guys they have now. But they have a lot of talent for them to figure out how to put it together, which is a lot more than they can say for the last few years for themselves.
Finally, the Cavaliers want to do something, but now Jimmy Butler is off the board. Do you think they'll be able to figure out a way for Paul George, maybe lesser Danny Green, to do something to add pieces this offseason?
Let me say this about the Paul George deal with Cleveland. The only way, I'll be very clear about this, the only way that they should be able to do this is if they get a third team involved. Because Indiana has kind of put it out there, and they need to stick to this, that they want a starter back plus multiple attractive draft picks. Cleveland doesn't have draft picks available for the next 20 years to trade. The star aspect of it they have to offer. But if you're Indiana, to take back Kevin Love and not take back any draft picks because Cleveland's really got none to give you would be ridiculous. Paul George for Kevin Love straight up just doesn't work. I would take Kevin Love if I'm Indiana, but I've got to get draft picks. So why I think this won't happen and why I hope it doesn't happen is because that would require a third team to look at this situation and say, yeah, I'm gonna step up and really help Cleveland get better here and have a chance to make a real run at the Warriors this season by being a third team involved here and giving them an attractive future first-round draft pick. First-round draft pick are like gold these days in the NBA. And if there's a third team that helps out the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's going to make a lot of us who study the NBA on a daily basis throw our head into a brick wall.
Jared Greenberg, host on NBA TV. Follow him on Twitter at Jared S. Greenberg. They did great coverage last night at NBA TV about all of the picks. So that was very cool to watch. Jared, I appreciate you dropping on by and let us know if there's future considerations in trading Mraz for a bag of balls.
I think actually, no, you know what? There's nobody picking up the phone at this point, sorry.
Okay. Jared Greenberg joining us here on the show. As always, thank you very much, my friend. He has decided to trade Mraz for a bag of balls.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
He controls Sean's rights?
I guess so.
Didn't know that.
Considering he's the only guest that answers me within 10 seconds every time I text, I'm going to say, yeah, he does control me.
Okay, it's fair. When we come back here on the show, a little Target Demo Friday. We'll hear from you guys of what you're up to as you listen to the show. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Wonderful time slot, although I'm used to having a libation during your show at night. It's been kind of odd drinking coffee to you, but it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience thus far.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Maestro Mike tweets in, DA, can you imagine the length of the laugh track? If you stayed on the air until you were 70 years old, you could hit it at just 11 a.m. and walk away. What a good idea. We were talking about Phil Jackson, and I said, he's out to lunch. He doesn't care enough about the job. Right now, he's collecting a paycheck, but he doesn't really want to do much work. And that's why he kind of doesn't know the prospects. He's not really doing a lot of scouting. He's falling asleep during scouting workouts. We had the serious conversation here on the show. Do you think Phil stayed up for all 60 picks last night? And the consensus was no. There are 29 NBA general managers grinding every pick, every player, every roster, every salary. These guys have to know everything that's going on in the league in terms of potential trades, who is off the board, who could be an unrestricted free agent, who's going to be a free agent, salary cap stuff, undrafted guys you could pick up and bring to camp. There's a million things to understand about every pick and every player on every roster. There are 29 general managers eating, sleeping, and breathing every pick last night, even if it wasn't their own. Phil was likely in bed during the second round. One guy took a leave and then hit the sack and was like, I'll read about it tomorrow. He is not locked in. Not locked in at all. And I said, if I was on the air until 70, I wouldn't be locked in at that point anymore either. But that is a really good idea. To build a laugh track, at this point, the laugh montage, which is like, it feels like it's 5 minutes, but it's about a minute and change. I should just build the perfect laugh montage, which lasts 3 hours, hit it right after the cold open, and then leave for the day. All right, it is time for your Target Demo Friday.
It's a 3-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
On Twitter, Courtney tweets, DA, I've got Matthew visiting California from New York. He's not used to listening to you on the 6 a.m. time slot, but we're dedicated. Hashtag DAlians, hashtag Target Demo Friday.
All right.
Well done. A little earlier for the DA. And then Matthew tweets, DA, I purposely made a Twitter account for Target Demo Friday. I'm listening on the TuneIn app with Courtney in Santa Barbara. Hashtag hawk in a bag.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Now that's a dedicated listener. Hawk in a bag. Hawk in a bag, baby. And I love the show that brings a couple together. Jason tweets, I'm listening on the radio.com app in Orlando. 2 p.m. I'm off at 2 p.m. and then pool time with my boys aged 5 and 7. I like that idea. Jay tweets, I'm on 93.1 KTIK. Boise, Idaho. 9 of 10 at the National Fiddle Festival in Weezer, Idaho. Hashtag, we have a lot going on over here. Hashtag, target demo. Hashtag, have a great weekend.
Oh, okay.
I love that hashtag. We've got a lot going on over here. Oh, it's so good. Another callback. Well done. Chad tweets, I'm literally sawing logs. No, I'm not sleeping like Phil Jackson. In Michigan. Hashtag... Target demo, hashtag strippers are for everyone.
Get on top of the guy and they'll do a lap dance.
Let me cue that up when you get a chance, Bart Scott. Strippers are for everybody. Kenny tweets, DA, I'm working in the oil field, listening on KSNY, 1450 AM.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
David tweets, I'm working while listening on the iTunes in Dayton, Ohio.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Greg tweets, beam me up, DA. I'm working, making that money here in Youngstown, Ohio. Hashtag 1 hour left. Hashtag bring on the weekend. On Facebook, Brandon writes, going to be listening to you guys from Orlando. Going to download the podcast to listen while I'm cashing in tips at the valet. Shout out to you guys replying to my tweet on that cupcake sandwich. Mraz is the real defensive coordinator.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Incorrect. Do not feed into his ego. He stole that move from Brad Heller, the real defensive, the real dessert coordinator.
I'm a fat lord.
That's right. Mikey writes, I'm in Cape Canaveral, listening on 1560 The Fan. This weekend, I'm trading my T-bone steak for a liverwurst sandwich, a day-old donut, and an order of gas station nachos.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Have we discussed liverwurst here on the show? I think we have.
Yes, we did. How it is the worst cold cutter lunch meat known to man.
My dad likes liverwurst. My mom used to buy liverwurst because my dad liked it. When I was a kid, we would have the sandwiches. I'm like, this is terrible. It's got like a granule liver. It's like if you ground down liver into some type of like patty.
And liver isn't good to begin with, so ground down liver is worse. And the name liverwurst has worst in it. No reason to eat it.
There's no piece of validation there whatsoever. No redeeming value. Do we have the Bart Scott clip?
Strippers are for everybody.
Thank you, Bart.
Get on top of the guy and they'll do a lap dance.
You're selling the devil's antidote.
The devil's antidote. Adam, here in Utah, getting ready for his post office shift, praying his Jazz didn't blow their chance at keeping Gordon Hayward last night. Let's hope not. I'd like to see Gordon Hayward stick around because they're building something. They're building something in Utah. Take note. Wasn't that their phrase? I love that. Take note. In other words, the music note.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it. Scott writes, I'm listening on that CBS Sports app at work in Kohler, Wisconsin. I've got a big weekend of golf to look forward to. Michael writing in, listening on the CBS Sports app in Grand Rapids, Michigan while working. Hashtag beam me up. Hashtag I'm out. Bye.
I'm out. Bye.
Miguel, CBS Sports app in Chicago. Gloomy Friday here in the Windy City after draft night. Can the Bulls Nation get a beam up? Hashtag fire Garpacks. Yeah, you guys could use that.
Oh, okay.
Nah, he's not doing a bad job. He's rebuilding.
And Zach writes in, iHeartRadio in Appleton, Wisconsin. Keep up the good work, DA.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
You are a machine of death.
Come on, Damien. Wake up.
And that's your Target Demo Friday. Well done, everybody. I love hearing from you guys. The interactivity of the show is what makes this show what it is. So I appreciate hearing from you guys. I appreciate all the feedback on Twitter, on social media, Facebook, on the phones, all of that. It's all good. So thanks very much. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You could submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/AskThePros or use the hashtag AskThePros at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the SuperStart battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Kyle tweets in, DA, should the Bulls have waited until the trade deadline to move Butler and get more than they did last night? Yes. I just can't imagine that's going to be the best deal you get for Jimmy Butler. He's under contract for the next 2 years. And then a player option for the third. There was no rush to have to get a deal done. Absolutely no rush. Why would you have to get one done last night? I mean, Lauri Markkanen is going to have to turn into a star, but Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn are not going to be stars. Those guys aren't star potential. It gives you three new starters and a new look, but there was no rush to have to get it done last night. So, yeah, I think they should have waited to get a better deal than that. Josh tweeting in, DA, I'm listening on 94.3, celebrating a huge Little League All-Star win last night. Hashtag Have a Sioux All-Stars. Hashtag Target Demo Friday. Well done. All right. That's pretty cool. I like it. Well, let's get to your epic fail of the night. Well, the morning, boys and girls, but last night was when the epic fail happened because we learned that Phil Jackson fell asleep during one of the workouts of one of the teams or one of the players he was potentially going to draft.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
He wouldn't get anywhere near a successful franchise. Not even a chance. So falling asleep at a workout doesn't surprise me at all. At all. It was a late night last night. If he had to sit through... Here's a good question. Do you think Phil was he was awake for all... every pick last night?
Follows directions. I think he's very good at that.
No.
No?
No.
Right? Bogus?
Well, and apparently I didn't just heard this, that whoever they took in the second round stumped everyone on TV.
Yeah.
So maybe he was asleep.
The big thing that we liked about it is that he's got size.
And someone just like, take this kid.
Do you think he was awake for every pick of this? So that was 60 picks.
No. No.
Okay, so we are all in unison here. We don't think the general manager of the New York Knicks was awake for every pick of the draft.
And we're not kidding either. I'm serious. I don't think he was.
I don't think so either.
They're all young. Top 10 picks are all really young guys. And
there's no way they can win. There's no way.
He makes their first pick and goes, all right, come get me when we're around 40. And
right.
He goes back into his office and lays down.
Totally.
And in the middle of the second round, they come retrieve him.
The reality is we have to grow a team together.
We are all on a consensus here that one of the 30 general managers running a franchise was not awake for all 60 picks last night. That's defined as a problem.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
You know, at my first job, we used to do remotes at a bingo hall in Fort Myers, Florida. We used to do remote broadcasts, and it was a great bingo hall. But hearing Phil Jackson's press conference, it took me back to the bingo hall. Because it was an old guy speaking really slowly in a monotone voice in a cavernous, echoey room with somebody coughing in the background. That's your New York Knicks draft press conference. By the way, the feedback from yesterday's picture on our Facebook of the creeper that was at the pool that exposed himself at that public pool where Schwartz takes his kids.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
In Queens. This guy's mugshot is so weird because he's got this baby face, but then this incredible baldness that's going over the top of his head, but a skullet with all this weird, crazy rat hair coming out of the back. And he's totally cleanly shaven and baby-faced. Eric, and we posted this on Facebook, and so the comments are great. Eric writes, dude looks like a way younger version of the Crypt Keeper from Tales of the Crypt. You know, before he turned into a skeleton.
So spot on.
Somebody said that he looked like a young Gollum. David writes, I think all that hair and back is material for a massive comb over. Police probably put it back for a clear picture of the face. It kind of reminds me of Doc from Back to the Future, pre-electric shock. But enough shock to fall out. And it's totally fair game because this guy exposed himself at a pool and this is his mugshot. So he deserves to get made fun of. But Bogish put it perfectly as we were talking about this picture off of the air. He said, this guy's picture has it all. Somehow it is both male and female. It is both old and young. It is both beautiful and ugly. And it's so true. I don't know. This face is like one of those things you go to the mall. It's like the magic eye. You don't know what you're looking at. This guy's face is the magic eye. It is somehow a female face, but a bald, weird, ratty male head. It is somehow old with the baldness, but young in the he can't grow a beard. And then it's male because, again, he's got like this weird craziness. It's also ugly with his weird craziness, but also kind of beautiful in the charm of his eyes.
He's the first person in the history of mankind to be both a 1 and a 10 on the rating scale.
Oh, man, you got to check out this picture on our Facebook page. Our Facebook acts just as a normal website, so you don't have to be a member of Facebook to check it out. But if you are, like the show page, go to facebook.com/TheDAShow. Just scroll down through before yesterday's videos of the show, and you'll see it. I posted it during the show yesterday morning, so that's from yesterday morning. This guy is so bizarre. That's facebook.com/TheDAShow. Like the show page when you get there. All right, thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Chris Arndt Thomas on your digital producing of the broadcast. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good. Be good to one another. I'm DA. We'll see you on Monday. The Mothership disconnects.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.